Ellie Holcomb, WWIB, The Broken Beautiful on this Thursday morning, 26 degrees, and ringing the phone of Jason Cans, and he's answering. And let's go to him this morning, quarter to six, make it 14 and a half before six. Time waiteth for no man. You know that's true, right?
That is true. I was wondering if you were calling me this morning.
Yeah. I was rushing to get a two-minute newscast done for our News Talk friends on WOGO and then race back over into the studio. So, the truth be told.
Well, I'm glad to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's a bit raspy. You know, I got to take better care of it. One recommendation I got from one speaker one time was apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
For the
voice.
I've
heard that myself.
Yeah. Your voice sounds strong and healthy this morning.
You drinking that in the morning?
Well, you know, I think I'd put it in something. I'd put it in something. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. There you go. You could mix it in with your coffee.
Yeah, it wouldn't taste quite the same. That would be a weird mocha for sure. Well, it's interesting. We do the number for the day. I do the 6:30 weather, and then before we get to the markets, I do special events and the number for the day. So that's about 45 minutes from now. But I've got to share this one with you, being the big reader that you are, because the number for the day is 20,748, and they say that is the hours you'll spend reading. Now, interesting how they come to that.
Yeah, how do they get there?
I mean, I think they're suggesting for the average person's life, that's the hours they'll spend reading. That's you in a weekend.
Yeah, I was thinking that's what is that, a year? I'd be curious how they arrive at that. You know, there's such a broad range of how much people spend reading. But, you know, I think it's important also to factor in that it's not necessarily just books. We read newspaper articles and internet articles and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it is clearly something that we make use of pretty regularly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so much of it has changed in recent years, right? I mean, reading your phone, reading your iPad, all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So where are you at these days on being your book has been, Letters to the Beloved, is available on Kindle, and it's a good deal at $20, but, I mean, which is what I got it for, a couple of copies. But, what about, like, the Kindle version is way more affordable. I mean, do you use a Kindle, or I don't even really...
You know, I've had Kindles. For me, there's something about holding the book in hand. Mm-hmm. I have my memory works in such a way that I remember where things are located on the page, and when it's with a Kindle, I have a harder time doing that. But you know, there are certain advantages with ebooks as well, is that you can search for words and ideas, you can highlight and search for your highlights. You know, so there are strengths and weaknesses both ways. As a book person, not necessarily a reading person, but as a book person, I really like the paper copies of them. But you are right. I mean, there's a pretty big difference cost-wise. I think on Amazon, the paperback is $24.95 versus $9.99 for the Kindle version, and mostly that's just material cost. So
yeah. All right, let's see. We've got 11 before 6 o'clock, and so we've been sharing a little bit about 1 John and New Living Translation. 1 John 1, 7 and 8, but if we are living in the light of God's presence just as Jesus is, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from every sin. You talk about in your devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, instead of fumbling around in the darkness, pretending to be something you are not, be who you are. I think you have that tattooed on you. Walk in the light where you will always find
that.
Me.
Yeah.
This honest, vulnerable place is where you can have real friendships with one another and with me. And then you go on to say, when you remember that my Son's blood has cleansed you thoroughly, you will not need to hide. Come out of the shadows and be seen. That's good stuff.
Yeah, you know, and I think that, again, that's something you and I think, have tried to model in our friendship. I think it's something that, boy, it's scary when we think about that, right? You know, if people see me for who I really am, Will they reject me?
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, I think we're being called to live in that honest, vulnerable place, first with God and then hopefully with a few trusted others. You know, and I think it's easier to do that if we can grasp the idea that we are forgiven by God. And when we can come to that place, it's easier, I think, to live honestly and vulnerably.
For sure. All right. Hey, have a terrific day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Here we go. Robert Morgan is great. He's a pastor, a writer. He wrote a book called On This Day. It's like bite-sized, you know those bite-sized candy bars? Bite-sized church history devotionally. It's called Rock of Ages. And I love it because there's one for each day of the year. On November 4th, 1740, a baby in Farnham, England, was given the formidable name of Augustus Montague Toplady. His father died in a war. His mother spoiled him. His friends thought him sick and neurotic, and his relatives disliked him. But Augustus was interested in the Lord. "I am now arrived at the age of 11 years old," he wrote on his birthday. "I praise God I can remember no dreadful crime. To the Lord be the glory." By age 12, he was preaching sermons to whoever would listen. At 14, he began writing hymns. At 16, he was soundly converted to Christ while attending a service in a barn. And at 22, he was ordained an Anglican priest. As a staunch Calvinist, he despised John Wesley's Arminian theology. He accused Wesley of lying and forgery. "I believe him to be the most rancorous hater of the gospel system that ever appeared on this island," Augustus wrote. Quote, "Wesley is guilty of satanic shamelessness," he said on another occasion, "of acting the ignoble part of a lurking, shy assassin." He described the evangelist as a prizefighter and a chimney sweep. In 1776, Augustus wrote an article about God's forgiveness, intending it as a slap at Wesley. He ended his article with an original poem. "Rock of ages, cleft for me, left me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure." Augustus Toplady died at age 38, but his poem outlived him and has been called the best-known, best-loved, and most widely useful hymn in the English language. Oddly, it is remarkably similar to something Wesley had written 30 years before in the preface of a book of hymns for the Lord's Supper. Quote, "O rock of salvation, rock struck and cleft for me, let those two streams of blood and water which gushed from thy side bring down pardon and holiness into my soul." And Robert Morgan says, perhaps the two men were not as incompatible as they thought. And let me suggest maybe the views of Calvinism and Arminianism are not as incompatible as one would think. Upon first glance, I'm reminded of my interview with the late, great Norm Geisler, who wrote a book, Chosen But Free. Psalm 18, 1 and 2, "I love you, Lord God, and you make me strong. You are my mighty rock, my fortress, my protector, the rock where I am safe." All right, we got a few different comments here this morning. One listener checking in, I guess Randy in the Wausau area, says, this was at 5:57. He says, "Take a deep breath, Mark. You sound discombobulated this morning," which is discombobulated, a fun word to see in print. You don't see it very often. He says, "Not your normal sparky self." Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," I believe, from memory. And then he adds, "Smile if you're happy and you know it. Hey, clap your hands. Ha ha." Thank you, Randy. Appreciate that. I don't know. My voice is a little subpar today. A little bit hoarse, working through that. Need the apple cider vinegar, the honey. I'll get that going, the hot water, the coffee, the whole deal. Meanwhile, we hear from Birthday Bob in Rice Lake. Packer Bob, what do you think of that whole Aaron Rodgers COVID thing, huh? My goodness. We mentioned Atlanta, Maverick City Music, and Bob, big Rice, like a big Third Day fan, says, and another really cool band out of Atlanta is Third Day. Yeah, he loves him some Third Day. We'll get some Mac Powell coming your way, maybe in some Third Day here after 7. And also Dan the Trucker in Janesville talking about Promises from Maverick City Music says he was going to request that song this morning, but we already played it. And he's like, "Have you seen the video?" He's in love with the video of that song as well. So they're kind of one of the... We got some great groups out there. We the Kingdom, and people excited about some of the great music that's being offered up. I got to just say here real quick on the what should have been the lead story, Aaron Rodgers with COVID. My mom texts me yesterday. It was a text message from Margie Spicer in Wauwatosa that alerted me to this. I'm like, I got to tell Caleb. I tracked down. There's apparently a meeting going on. I knock on your door. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers has COVID. Jordan Love is starting.
So yeah, the guy on the other end of the Zoom was kind of surprised by that.
So, let's go, Brandon. Doot, doot, doot. Right?
And so, anyhow, talking to my mom.
Jordan Love.
Brandon's going to get you an awesome.
That means something totally different, actually.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. I meant,
totally
let's go, Jordan.
Right.
Jordan, he's our man. If he can't do it, no one can.
Anyhow, talking to Margie Spicer later in the day, and she's just like, I just love it that I broke it for you. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, forget Adam Schefter.
Yeah,
Margie Spicer.
All right. Whenever I talk about a spiritual thing, I'm a little nervous because I could be getting it wrong. I don't know if these thoughts are God's thoughts or my thoughts, but this is a scary thing that happened to me. In my view, God, in his grace, kind of pulled back on his blessings to me one time. And I'll tell you what I mean. Yesterday, I was driving down the road. I turned into Festival, and I thought to myself, I am one of the few people in this world that can go into a woman who can drive, unlike lots of people.
Sure.
And went into Festival. I thought, I can pretty much buy whatever I need, and it's all there, and I can buy it. And I said, thank you, God. And I felt clear as a bell. He said, the blessing isn't that you can do this. The blessing is that you are aware of it, that you even acknowledge. And he brought me back to a time a few years ago. I struggle with depression. And there was a time where I realized that without God and his mercy, I wouldn't even have the will to live. You know, he gives us so many things that we don't even know about. So there was a time about several weeks where I just was so conscious that apart from God giving me the desire to live, to get up, to breathe, to do anything, I was helpless. And it sounds like kind of a downer. But guys, I guess what I want to tell you is that no matter what your circumstance, if it wasn't for God, everything would seem meaningless to us. Solomon had everything in the world, but he said in Ecclesiastes, it's all meaningless. And with God, and we can even ask him, Lord, I want you to make me thankful. I want you to show me your goodness. Mm-hmm. He is the one that makes us want to live. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. So not just the things we have, but the ability to appreciate them even is a gift from him.
Mm. Well, the good news is in Ephesians 1:3, you and every believer in Christ has every spiritual blessing
That's
in the heavenly
right.
places. So John Waller, the blessing, WWIB. WWIB, did you guys hear about this? A Michigan man's backflip is breaking records. Trey Collins broke a Guinness World Record with a backflip that took him 62 inches airborne.
What?
Says he discovered his jumping abilities on the basketball court, been working to break a record ever since.
Wow.
The previous record set at 58 inches by Olympic gymnast Tyson Edwards.
Well, that is impressive.
Yeah.
So, I don't even want to know what I would hurt if I tried a backflip.
He's over 5 feet off the ground.
That's crazy. Incredible.
That seems like a wholesome pursuit. I
just
support
glad to
that.
Get out of bed this morning.
Okay, I'm trendy. I like to be in on the trends. I'm in complete denial that I am 59 years old, so I'm always looking at fashion blogs.
Trying to skew younger, I mean, always.
The other day I said to Michelle, when she said something I agreed with, I said, word. And she's like, don't you think you're a little too old? I'm like, maybe.
Keeping
I
you
think
grounded.
I'm cool. Yeah, that's
Michelle.
Michelle,
I want to be saying word in my
I
80s,
love her.
Girl.
So I've heard of this trend. We have a story today, freezing your jeans instead of washing. So there is a push for those of us who wear blue jeans, most of us, to stop washing them, instead freeze them. And I get this because when you have a really good fitting pair of jeans, which is very difficult to find, you don't want to wash them and have them wear out. So supposedly people wanted to substitute freezing their jeans to kill the bacteria instead of washing them. But now Stephen Craig Carey, a University of Delaware expert, says one might think that if the temperature drops well below the human body temperature, the bacteria will not survive, but actually many will. Many are pre-adapted to survive low temperatures, so you can't.
So people are saying, I don't want to wash the jeans. I like the way they
right.
fit. I don't want them to wear out,
yeah.
but they're starting to smell, so I'm going to freeze them instead of washing them.
Okay, thank
to
you.
To kill the
Very
bacteria
concise.
That caused them
yes.
to smell. So that's the thing. And so Dr. Delaware, or from the University of Delaware, says, nuh-uh. These are strong bacteria,
yes.
and your freezing isn't going to work.
Yeah, your jeans have become a walking Petri dish.
Yeah.
They say between washes, your best bet is to hang your denim outside by a window or fan to diminish odors and bacteria. But every 4 to 6 weeks, you should wash your denim. I would say after every couple wearings. Come on, let's
be real. How about this little tip, especially for mothers of teenagers? For a more aggressive attack on smells, fabric freshening sprays or diluted vinegar sprays should get the funk out.
Get the funk out.
Do you ever just go into your teenager's room and it just, you know, seems like there's been a crack in the ozone layer? And
I'm remembering some things now. Yes. So anyway, that's that scarcity mentality. Don't hoard your jeans goodness. Wear those jeans. God will have another good pair for you.
And then there's more room in the freezer for ice cream sandwiches.
If you hang them on the laundry line this winter, they will for sure freeze. No question about that. All right, so I was at the dentist recently and was told, like last week, right?
Right.
And they communicated hey, are you using kind of a mouthwash or a mouth rinse? And I said I was, but I'd had a couple of different ones. And I'd known that in terms of preventing, you know, gingivitis and those kinds of things, that you should probably try something with fluoride. And they were kind of underscoring that. And I said, currently we have probably like a generic mouthwash that doesn't have fluoride. And they're like, you should get one with fluoride. So I go shopping at like the dollar store where like everything's a dollar, one of those many. And I got, there's a couple of them. No, they're both Reach Essentials, but it's just kind of interesting. And they both say 6-in-1 benefits. I mean, it kills germs, clean mouth, fights gingivitis, freshens breath, reduces plaque, alcohol-free. That's what one says. The other is...
And it's purple. Right, it's a really pretty color.
The other one's like blue. But one of them says anti-plaque, and the other says anti-cavity. And if you look on the back, the it's the anti-cavity one that says... active ingredient, sodium fluoride. So there's the fluoride that the dentist wanted.
So that's what they recommended. But you went and bought another one?
I did. They're only a dollar each, and they're small. The other one has
four meals that freed my people, but whatever.
It's not fluoride per se, but and the lettering's so small. But
these are tough life decisions.
Impronounceable chemical term that's in it. But one of them is, you know, and so plaque is the thing that leads to the problem, right?
You're right.
You're looking to get rid of plaque. On the other hand, I never had to have my wisdom teeth removed because I have such a big mouth that they all fit. Hence, the two times I played Pudgy Bunny, who do you think won? I did.
Elbow.
So anyhow, the fact is, put that on my tombstone. So anyhow, I thought, well, the anti-cavity could help because one of them, they said, one of your wisdom teeth has a cavity. And I do have an appointment scheduled to go back like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. They said, well, we'll see what we can do with that. So I've got one for anti-cavity, one for anti-plaque. I mean, I should be able to eliminate all evil in my mouth.
What happens when you mix them together and swirl them?
One of them is my nighttime. And basically, if you read it, they talk about swishing it around in your mouth, one for 60 seconds and one for 30 seconds.
Does anybody actually do that?
I do. I try.
I don't. Wow.
See, I try to be a rule follower when it comes to teeth.
I don't think that I get the benefits that I should be getting because of my impatience.
Yeah. So, Mark, I just want to give you props for following the advice of the dentist, because you took this on very earnestly and diligently, went out right away and got the mouthwash. I just let it go in one ear, out the other. I'm like, whatever.
They want what's best for you. They really do.
I have whitening toothpaste.
I know, having been there, I'm like, these people eat, drink, sleep, and breathe teeth. I'm sure they have teeth dreams. I mean, they just are intense and focused.
Well, good for you.
Grandpa, what's for supper?
Well, it didn't cut me no wood, and the stove's cold as ice, and we'll eat bologna sandwiches and leftover rice. And they didn't bring ice, so the milk is not cold, and I guess that'll teach you to do as you're told.
That was from Cliff in Spooner, who said the idea of men making dinner reminded him of that cut from Hee Haw, which if you're old enough, you'll remember that show, so...
And this just in from Cody, he said, on behalf of my dad, he would make chicken cacciatore one of his specialties.
Hmm.
Fun fact, cacciatore, Italian for hunter, in the style of the hunter.
You'll notice the music.
I know that.
The music I'm playing in the background is Survivor, because a lot of times if the guys are cooking dinner, it may be a Survivor theme.
Mm-hmm. So. So what you make taco soup, you make rotisserie chicken soup.
Yeah, I've kind of liked soup. I liked wild rice soup during the pandemic, like seven straight Saturdays was kind of my go-to. Italian sausage soup is another one that I enjoy.
Like a zuppa type of a thing?
Zuppa.
Yeah,
Italiana.
It's got Italian sausage. It's got a little spinach in there. And
that does sound like the Italian wedding soup. I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the Italian sausage, I mean, that's the payoff, right? Every time you get that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Italian sausage, our fearless leader, Greg Stewart, when he was asked about the dinner thing, he said he makes a mean frozen pizza.
Yeah, that's his...
Hey, that's a talent. Not to let it burn, get nicely crisp.
Yep.
Cheese just so. You're looking at me.
I am looking at you.
I'm not completely inept in the kitchen. I would say I'm a better baker than cook, but mm-hmm. I do not do a lot of cooking. My wife blesses us with amazing meals all the time, and I don't know for sure. Occasionally when I'm, you know, taking care of a kid's breakfast or lunch, it's usually sandwiches and things that are easy like that. So I don't know. But if I were to decide, you know, I'm going to from planning to prep to actually making this meal and putting it on the table, what would I make? Part of it would go with what my kids would eat. They're big on soups. And so I probably would try some sort of probably a cheesy potato soup.
Good.
Maybe with some veggies in there as well, too. I have made those on occasion with decent amount of success. But I mean, honestly, I'm kind of fumbling. I'm not real great.
Well, I am a very lucky woman because when one of my first days with Bill, we're getting to know each other. I'm like, I've never seen my dad cook anything. He said, oh, I make two things. And I'm like, really? And I don't know if he thought, oh, she's not going to ask. But I said, what are they? He goes, tacos.
Good.
Yeah. And taco salad.
Solid.
Wow. So leftover. Okay. Sold. Put a ring on it. That settled it for me.
See, when I was like a bachelor, I would make things that I knew I could eat for multiple meals.
Yes,
so I would make,
right.
you know, spaghetti and meatballs with, again, the prepackaged meatballs. But I had no problem eating it for like 3 days straight with some salad or ranch.
Fuel.
Yeah. No, it was fine. I wasn't terribly picky. I didn't know what eating well was until I got married.
You know, it's amazing. I didn't get married until I was 34. And so it's kind of, and I told you when Peggy came over for the very first date,
that's right.
I mean, I made spaghetti.
You made spaghetti and won her heart.
I've made it many times over the years. And so that's an easy go-to. I've never really warmed up to lasagna. It seemed more complicated. But I think that I'm like, wow, why didn't I develop more cooking skills? I made some hamburger helper. There was the spaghetti. I mean, I guess you could do fish or hamburgers or pizza.
Well, because at the end of a long work day, to come home and to have culinary creativity is very difficult.
I think that's why my younger brother, Josh, who is a single guy, why he loves his crock pot so much, to the extent that he wrote a love song on our WWIB radio Facebook page. He's a pretty talented dude, but he's really, I mean, and this, if you watch the song, you're like, this is a little silly. He really loves that crock pot. He makes all sorts of things in it. I mean, he asks my mom and gets recipes and tells her things that he makes. So yeah, I never progressed to that level in the kitchen.
Well, here we hear from Cliff again. He said, my go-to dinner is venison black bean chili. Mm, it's
solid.
Requested by my daughter when we visit her. When he grills, cheeseburgers or chicken.
Oh, I do grill. I'm okay at
well,
that.
Well, there you go.
I was kind of wrestling. I
burying
saw some...
the lead there. I'm okay at grilling.
Okay, you win now.
I saw some chicken in the fridge and I thought, you know, it's going to be 50 degrees today. Maybe it could be a grilling day. So, and I'm remembering, I think it was your first date with Phil where he took, you guys were off to a potluck or something.
Yeah, we were off to a Christmas party.
And he kind of carefully, he like buckled in the items in the back seat,
right? Yeah, the Spanakopita. He put it in the back seat with a seat belt on it. And I thought, this man will take good care of my heart as well.
There you go. This is that song from Caleb's brother, Josh, that he was referring to, I believe. Is this one right here? Yeah, it is. The Crockpot song. Let's give it a listen. The video, catch it on the Wimp Facebook page. Josh Swenson.
Slow cooking lunch with you.
He loves his crock pot.
Wow.
He does. Yeah.